rejoicing that you are our Father, that your Son has come and rescued us, and you have brought us into your presence. And today we have ears to hear from you. Today, Father, I thank you that revelation of your plans and purposes would be just blown up really big, that we would see, hear, and know the goodness and the greatness you have for us this morning. And in the name of Jesus, amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Well, we're in the middle of a series on faith. We started it a couple of weeks ago, and we're going to continue. Week one, we talked about what faith is and how faith comes. What faith is, all right, and how it comes. Last week, we talked about hope. Now, hold on that for a second there, guys. Okay. We talked about hope, and we said hope really was dreams. Dreams. When you have dreams, it really is hope. When you have hope, it's really dreams. And God will put dreams in your heart, and you have to put some faith with it, or else it's just a dream. So we were talking about dreams and hope really are simply believing that your life could be better. It starts with a dream. A dream, some things in your life will get better. That child to come back to Jesus. It starts with hope. It starts with a dream. So if you weren't able to be with us, I thought it was fun. I had a great time. All right. I had a great time studying. I've learned stuff. I'm growing in here. But you can get a free CD. You just fill out the envelope, stick it in the back. They're free. Or you just go online. All right. You go online and you can listen to it. Amen. All right. We're going to continue on. The ushers are going to give you a fill in the blank. Fill in the blank. This is your opportunity to participate. Now, some of you would never yell, "Hallelujah, preach it, Pastor D." That's part participation here. So I'm going to give you an opportunity to participate. You can take notes. You can fill in the blank. Also, you're smarter than a fifth grader. So you're going to write these things down so you remember it. All right? So you should all have, says decision part three. Part three. All right. See if I can do all this. I got one more. I think I'm going to move that. I'm going to bring this up here. Where's my other thing? All right, I'm going to get going here. Here we go. So we're going to talk about decisions. And listen, how many of you know that every single one of you are an expert? Say I'm an expert at looking at somebody else's life and say, man, you guys really made a dumb decision. Come on. How many of you have looked at other people and thought, what were you thinking, Shirley? That was ridiculous. All right? We're experts of looking at other people's decisions. Do you do it? I do it. I'm working at not, but I do it. Okay. But all of you have made good decisions. Okay? Number one, best decision you'll ever do is to accept the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the best decision anybody can do. It affects eternity. It affects the greatness and things that happen. So that's probably the best decision everybody can make. Second best decision is you showed up for church this morning. Amen. Best decision. Right. Good. Praise God. Yeah, Pastor D, we're just really with you today. All right. Where's Kathy? Kathy, if I forget, stand up at the end to tell me about that. All right? It's like, I wrote it down. I'm looking at it. All right. Praise the Lord. So how many of you made good decisions in your life? Now, how many of you made some bad decisions? How many made some bad decisions that kind of altered your life? Oh, my gosh. Anybody do some of that? I've done a couple of those. Well, listen, the great thing is we serve a God. It doesn't matter if you've made a bad one, a worser one, God can redeem your life. The God that we serve, that I love, that I know, can change things. So if you've made some bad decisions, hang in. To hang in. I want to tell you a little story that has to do with making decisions. Okay? I'm going to tell you a story, so get you all on the page. But before I do that, you get to write this yourself. Write this on your piece of paper. It takes faith to make decisions. It takes faith to make decisions, and The "and" is a kicker. Carry them out. It takes faith to make decisions, and it takes faith to carry them out. All right, so we're going to talk today about how to make decisions, how to make right decisions. I've made a whole bunch of wrong ones. I want to learn how to make right ones. Anybody want to make some right decisions? Get going the right way? Okay. All right, this is my story. It was actually an article that I read, and it's about a gentleman. He's about 76 years old, and back in the 70s, when he was in his 30s, he had an opportunity to invest in a startup company. And two other guys besides him had an opportunity to invest money in a startup company. All right. So he decided to put $800 in to be a part of this. He's like, "I'm making a decision to commit to this company because I think it could be good." Yeah, $800. $800 in 1976, by the way. Which, for me, that was a lot of money. Because in 1976, I was just getting out of college and paying loans and all that stuff. But anyway, so here he is in his mid-30s. He's married. He's got a family. And not too long after that, the wife, I'm one of those, said, "You know, honey, we could really use that $800 now. You know, how do you know this is going to pay off? How do you know? You know, this, we really probably could use it. You don't know. This might just be a total waste." So he changes his mind and goes to that this gentleman, and he says, "Can I have that $800 back?" So he gets his $800 back. Okay, now let me tell you a little bit about this. This guy is now in his, presently, he's like 76 years old, and he's being interviewed at a casino. And he goes to the casino every single day to try to make money. And now he's probably living on a pension and Social Security, but every single day, this is where this guy goes to try to make money. Now, I tell you all of that because the company that he originally made a decision and didn't carry it out is now called the Apple Company. And it's worth, I looked it up, $23 billion. Had he stuck with the decision, he wouldn't have to go to the casino every day to make money, right? He probably wouldn't even go to the mailbox looking for that Social Security check, right? All right. Now, you probably think, "That was a stupid decision, buddy. What were you thinking?" Listen, you all, like, I don't know what I would have done, right? All right. So sometimes we make decisions and we change decisions and we make decisions and you don't know. But really, that was pretty dumb, right? He'd have a whole lot more money. I like that. I could use some more money. Anybody want some more money in your life? These are big time people here. They can tell. Okay. All right. So today what I want to talk about is how to make decisions that are right decisions, not like his decision. By the way, the guy's name is Ronald Wayne. Go Google. Okay. So, Now, I will say this. I want you to learn how to make right decisions, but sometimes it's hard to make right decisions. It's hard, all right? Just start thinking about some things going on in your life, guys, or some things that you've made decisions on. How many would say it's a little bit hard sometime? Yep. All right, now, as I was thinking about this guy, Ronald Wayne, and his ridiculously bad decision, it made me think, this is just me, faith is risky. You know, it's a little risky stepping out there. And people look at you like, "What are you doing?" Right? Okay, but listen, faith may be risky, but unbelief is deadly. Not stepping out, making decisions, it can be really bad. It'll cost you $23 billion, right? All right, so I'd rather go with a little risky. I'd rather go with a little risky stuff, okay? So just think if he would have said, "You know what? I'm going to make this decision, and I'm going to stick to it." Yeah, I think he'd be not hanging out in casinos. Amen. All right. So today we're going to talk about decisions, and we're going to look at the life of Moses. So if you open up to Hebrews chapter 11, starting at verse 24, that's where we're going to camp out. Okay, just keep your thumb in there. That's what we're going to read today. All right. So your paper at the top has some blanks. You're going to fill in the blanks. And I told Carol not to put anything up there. Nothing. You guys all have to pay attention today. No, you always pay attention. I know that. All right. All right. So number one, I wrote down, faith brings you to a place of decision. Faith brings you to a place of decision. All right. So if you're new at your walk in faith, or you don't even know God, today you're going to get to learn about decisions and faith. And faith will take you to a place of decision. Faith will take you to a place of decision. All right? Now, how many of you remember the day you received Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior? The day you became a follower, it started with faith, and then you made a decision. Started with faith. Okay, I started to hear about God. Then I thought, oh my gosh, my life's a mess. I want to know about God. Then when I heard a little bit about who God was and who Jesus is, I thought, man, I want to be on that team. I want to serve him. And then I thought, you know, Lord, I really want you to help me change my life. So I was all in, and it started with faith, and I made a decision to serve the Lord, to love the Lord, to be a follower of the Lord. Amen. So number two, faith by its nature begins here on the inside, okay? Faith begins on the inside, not on the outside. I wish I could just pick something up and put a hat on my head and boom, something on the outside and wow, then I had faith. But faith begins on the inside. And every one of you, if you've heard the word of God, Romans says faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. Faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. Faith comes by hearing and the word of God. So that means when you come in here today, because I'm going to preach the word, faith comes. Okay? How about you read your Bible every day, right? Then guess what? Faith comes. How about you pop in a CD or you go online and you listen to somebody? You're hearing the word of God. Guess what? Faith comes. So faith comes on the inside and it starts working its way on the outside. Praise God. Okay, number three, faith shows up in the decisions you make. Ronald Wayne. Faith shows up in the decisions that you make. Everybody put the word decision in there? Aren't you loving this fill-in-the-blank stuff? Right. Yeah, Frank, is Kathy doing it for you? Oh, jeez. Telling you what. All right. Praise the Lord. Open up to Hebrews, or you are opened up in Hebrews 24. We're going to read 24, 25, and 26. By faith, because Moses, we're reading about Moses. By faith, Moses, when he came of age... interesting. When he came of age, he refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the passing pleasures of sin, esteeming the reproach of Jesus Christ, Christ's greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, for he forsook. Oh my gosh, I'm butchering it. Sorry. For he looked to the reward. Okay. In the middle of your page, it says Hebrews 11, 24. Okay. Moses is our model. And as I read through this last couple weeks, there are seven ways a decision will affect you. I'd like to know, before I make a decision, how it's going to help me, affect me and my family. So we've got to look at these scriptures and see what had happened in Moses' life, and decisions will affect you, all right? So number one, it says decisions change. I'm on the wrong page. Whoa, my gosh, I'm doing great here on my numbers. Decision change your lives. Decisions change your lives. Okay, in verse 4, it says this. Moses, he became of age and refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. All right, now, let me give you a little background about Moses at that time. Moses at that time, there was a king. He was called Pharaoh. And the Pharaoh had decided that all baby boys that were born were going to be killed. So if you had a baby boy, they were going to kill it. And Moses' mom loved that baby. So for 3 months, she hid that child. All right. So for 3 months, she hid that child. And then she puts this little baby boy who was, it says he was absolutely beautiful. But listen, all mamas, what do we say? My kid's the prettiest, the smartest, and da 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 da. Because I'm the mama. That's what we say about our kids. So I really believe the Lord spoke destiny of this child. I just, me reading between the lines. Because even though I'm a mama, and my babies are the prettiest, and they are the smartest, all right? But I believe the Lord spoke to her about this baby, the destiny, and the hope that was in this child. So she ends up by putting this baby in the basket. It floats downstream, and Pharaoh's daughter finds this baby. And she probably said, oh, the prettiest baby around. Now, okay, so she takes this baby into her home. Well, where does she live? Pharaoh's daughter. In the palace. What kind of life is somebody in the palace? Well, I've never lived in a palace, but I'm pretty sure they have everything. How about a life of luxury? Pretty sure you live in the palace. You don't want for anything. You have the best of the best. All right? Best chariots. I don't know. The best clothes. You just have the best. So here we have Moses, and he is now living a life of luxury. Okay? Listen, when you make a decision, it changes your life. And he made a decision not to live a life of luxury. Right? His decision changed his life. Now, how many of you grew up in a life of luxury? I didn't. I was one of six kids, and then there were eight of us. And up until I was about a junior in high school, there was one bathroom. Four girls, two boys, mom and dad. Okay, that's not luxury in my book. I really appreciate it when we got the second bathroom. Okay, so listen, I didn't grow up in luxury, and I probably would enjoy luxury like that. So he's growing up in luxury, and he makes a decision that changes his life. So from luxury to probably not. Everybody say not. Okay. I don't think it was nothing, but he didn't have the big luxury. So he makes a decision. Okay. So decisions change your life. Decisions change your life. And sometimes we make wrong decisions that change your life. Anybody make wrong decisions that change your life in a wrong way? I have. Okay. But decisions... The God decisions that you make will take you in a right direction. All righty. All right. Number two, what's it say? Yeah. Well, okay. I'm on the wrong page again. Here we go. I should have had my cheat sheet. Right decisions are never easy. Right decisions are never easy. How many of you have a family? How many of you have a job? How many of you run a business? How many of you have had to make decisions for your family, your job, your business? And they weren't easy decisions. Right? They weren't easy. All righty. You know, it's real easy to look at Tom and Martha and say, oh my gosh, you guys, I can't believe you guys. You really made some dumb decisions. I can't believe that. And then you look over here at Scott and you go, man, Scott's doing great. But you don't know, Scott runs his own business. You don't know all the hard decisions he made to get where he is right now. Because decisions are not always easy. All right. Oh, thanks. I needed my cheat sheet. Thanks, Carol. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Carol. All righty. All right. Number three, decision reveal values. All righty. Decisions reveal our values. You know what? Right decisions show what I value. And so do wrong decisions. Wrong decisions, same way. Your wrong decisions show what you value. I remember years ago, years and years ago, it was probably the beginning of January, end of December, my visa bill came, and on the second page, they had the pie graph, the big circle with the pie, you know what I'm talking about? And they showed where I used my visa for a whole year. Entertainment, food, okay? Okay, so the decisions I made with my visa card actually showed what I valued. Decisions you make show what you value. Now, don't you think yours, come on, we're born again. We love the Lord Jesus. So my decisions should be valuing God and his word and his kingdom, right? So everybody say, I want to value what God values, right? All right. Okay, that was easy. Amen. Okay, number four, decisions define our goals. Goals. How many of you have some goals in life? All right. Sometimes some people, not us, right? We have goals, but they're not God goals. God didn't give you goals. That's somebody else, not us, right? Somebody, you know, okay. Sometimes we cook up goals and they're not God goals. They're goals that we set. But listen, don't you think we should check in with the Most High God first? And say, God, I'm going to make a decision and I'm going to set some goals. And I think I'm going to check with you first. Matter of fact, I'll be really honest. I think every decision, I'm not talking about if you put sriracha sauce on your eggs this morning. Okay, I'm talking about goals, all right? But when you're making goals and decisions and goals, you should be going, Lord, what do you want? What do you think of this? You know, we used to laugh about the shed and the funny things that end up in the shed. And I think some of those decisions weren't the goals and decisions because they just stockpiled in there. So listen, a good habit when you have to make a decision, why don't you go, Father God, I hear your voice. You direct my path. My heart, I've surrendered my heart to you. By the way, your Lord, your boss. Okay, boss, what goals and decisions should I be heading down? Okay, amen? All right, so what was that? Number five goals. Number five. Number five is they create activity. They create activity. Decisions create activity, such as, okay, we're making a decision. We're going to move from Pennsylvania to Maryland. We're going to get a new job. There's a whole lot of activity to get from there to there, right? Activity. So when you make decisions, there's going to be activity. Okay, also, if you make wrong decisions, there's a whole lot of activity. Okay? Don't tell my kids, but, you know, when we decided we were going to cut school, made a decision, me and my buddies, we're going to cut school. Right then, we started this whole bunch of activities. How was I going to forge my mom's signature? How I was going to lie so I could cut school? Wrong decisions have some wrong activity, right? All right? Wrong decisions will have wrong activity. Okay, right decisions will have good activity. All right? Now, what happens if you've made a whole bunch of wrong decisions in your life? This is what I love about our God, our Savior. He said, I'll redeem your life. I'll redeem your life. I will turn things around. All right? So all you have to do is go, you know, God, especially when my parents caught me cutting school and lying and forging, okay? This is where you go, Father God, I made a wrong decision. I made a bad decision. And I am truly sorry, and I ask you to forgive me. Just go to him, however you go to him, okay? And then, you know what God does? He says, okay, I'm going to change. I'm going to redeem this decision. Now, it doesn't always happen like this, because I got ground it. Okay? But a lot of times, I haven't had too many. Right away it changes. But God gets in there and he will change things when you say, God, I have made a wrong decision. This past Friday night, I was up at Pastor Jim Law's Second Chance Ministry, had their annual fundraiser, and they had three guys come in and give their testimony. They made some bad choices. Bad decisions in their life. They ended up being incarcerated for a minimum, one guy 11 years, one guy 9. And this was interesting. This one gentleman said, all I did, he said, some guy blanked me off, and I just got so mad, I just gave him 2 punches, and I ended up in jail for 9 years. I was like, 2 punches? Oh, come to find out, he's one of those military special forces. His 2 punches, I think it did some damage. And then he met Pastor Jim Law, who is relentless in telling you that God can change your life. So this guy met the Lord Jesus Christ. He's actually in a halfway house now, and God is redeeming and restoring things that were stolen. His wife left him, lost his house and all this, and it's just been a process. But he did make some wrong decisions and wrong activity. But you know, you fess up and you watch what God does. Just watch. He's so wonderful. So nobody is hopeless. I don't ever believe anybody's hopeless. I may get disgusted with them and leave them alone for a little bit, but they're not hopeless, right? God can change some things around. So, wrong decisions. Hallelujah. Have some activity. 31 years ago, I think it's 31 years ago, we made a decision that we were going to start a church. And there was some activity after that. Okay? There was some activity. Like the month before, we were doing life this way, and we made a decision we were going to start a church. All of a sudden, there's activity that changed the course of where we were doing life, changed our lives, and changed our activity. And it was good. All right? So decisions will create some activity. Number 6. You ready? Everybody say number 6. Here we go. They form commitment. They form commitment. Hebrews 11:27. By faith he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. When you make a right decision, it forms commitment. When you made a decision to follow the Lord Jesus, I mean, your eyes were open. I know a lot of people, you know, get born again and you really wonder. But listen, when you see who Jesus is and you see who you are, you will make a decision. And if you have really seen who Jesus is and the price he paid for you to redeem you, you will make a commitment, and it's a lasting commitment. Anybody make that lasting commitment, right? All right. How many of you have been to the altar with your spouse and you, oh, the most beautiful thing around, all right, oh, the love of my life. On that day, you make a decision to make a commitment. Right? That day, you make a decision to make a commitment. And you don't know all that's going to happen in the next 20 years, the good, the bad, the ugly, the thin times, the big times, all right? But you made a decision. You made a decision, and here you are, 20 years later, 30 years later, because you made a decision for a commitment. So decisions will make commitment in your life, all right? Decisions will make a commitment in your life. Last one, here we go. Good decisions become habits. So it says in Hebrews that Moses was told to keep the Passover, to keep the Passover. He actually created a habit. He created a habit. Now, let me tell you about habits. We here at YCF believe you should have some habits. One, you should come to church. All right? I believe that's a good habit. I can give you about 5 scriptures, but today, just write down, we believe here that you should come to church regularly. Number two, we believe you should serve in the church and in the community, not just sit. All right? That's just a habit I think you all should have. All right, Pastor D, you're stepping on toes. Number 3, we believe you should be in a group, like a grow group. All right? Yeah. Okay? Because listen, staying home by yourself, you're just going to get sucked into the TV or play some games, all right? So we believe it's, now listen, today is good. Today you should come to church. But listen, life gets better when you do it with people. What was Andy Stanley's, I said his quote, rows are good, circles are better. Some of you are so goofy, you need to be in a circle. Uh-huh. I found out I got a little, you know, a little twitching going on, and I needed people in the circle to say, Pastor D, you're wrong. And they said that nice. You know, Pastor D, did you ever look at it this way? And actually, when I go to a group, I don't go as pastor. I tell, listen, I'm not pastor. I'm in a group, okay? So groups bring people together. So we believe you should have groups, okay? And you don't have to do one for, Eric and Lucy have been doing for one, what, 25 years? All right. You don't have to do one for 25 years, but we're offering groups seasonally. We do a fall group. We're going to do a spring group. And summertime, we're figuring out if we have little groups because life gets busy. But listen, groups bring people together. We're not supposed to do life alone. So you should try groups. Okay. The best one. Okay. The best habit is you should read your Bible. What? Yes. Yeah, because faith comes by hearing and hearing the word of God. So you need to be in a habit, not I got out of church, threw it in the back of my car. And next week I came to church and go, where's that Bible? That's not a habit. That's a bad habit. Excuse me. That is a bad habit. All right. You should. My friend Pastor Mike coined the word soap. S-O-A-P. Soap. S is scriptures. You get your nose in the Bible every day, all right? And you spend time in the scriptures. And whether you're in read through the Bible through a year or else you're like me, I get camped out for like 2 months in one book of the Bible, and I'll read it over and over and over. Okay, so you're going to S, soap. S for scriptures. Two, you're going to observe it. That means you're not just finished. I read my 2 chapters in the Bible, finished. No, you're going to observe it. And this is what I always do. Actually, Pastor Jack taught me. He says, before you open your Bible, D, say, Holy Spirit, I thank you that this word will speak to me today. As I read the word, you will speak to me. And you know what? When I say that and I'm reading the word every day, something starts speaking to me. Say I'm reading 1 Corinthians 13. The love chapter. And I get to this part. Love holds no aught. And all of a sudden, I'm observing that. And it's talking to me. Right. I can do this. All right. All right. So S is scriptures. O is observe. And A is apply. You should write this down. This is good stuff. S-O-A-P. All right. A. So as I've read the word, and all of a sudden it's good looking at me, I'm asking the Lord how I can apply it in my life. Watch out when you do that. It never fails. Like in the day, he's like, you know, Pastor D, you know, he calls me D, he doesn't call me Pastor. Sorry. He goes, you know, D, that part about hold no offense. Well, oh yeah, I got to do this. Okay. So S is scriptures, O is observe, A is apply. If you do not apply it, you become big head. Fat Christians. When I was teaching children's ministry, we would call you big butt Christians, but you know, you're adults. I don't do that here. Okay. If you don't apply it, it's not doing you good. All right. Now, the wonderful thing is it just circles around in you. It'll come, you know, I'll be doing something and all of a sudden it rises up again. The scripture, the word comes to me and I'm like, oh, that's right. I need to apply this here. So S is scripture. O is observe. A is apply. And P is prayer. After you read this, pray. Father God, I want to be a doer of the word. I want to apply this. Father, apply it in my life. And how, this is even better, how can I apply and share this with somebody else? Okay, so we believe you should have some good habits. The best habit is you need to be in the word every day. All right, now, once you start a habit of this, you won't want to not. This is a funny sentence. Okay, you could not help but to. All right? There are very seldom days that I do not spend time in the Word. And I spend time and I start my day. Sherry's still fighting me on that one. She ends her day that way. Okay? But I start my day. And you'd have to tie me down not to. I've also found out I'm a sweeter person. Yep. I'm a nicer person, you know, and so anyway, so I believe you should have habits. Where are we? Number, was that the last one? Okay, last one. Good decisions form, become good habits, all right? You know, the interesting thing is when you start recognizing, I need to make a decision. I'm going to go to the Lord first, okay? You start getting in a habit of doing that. And you don't fly by your seat of your pants and get yourself in trouble because you always stop and you go, okay, this is a decision time. Oh, that's right. Father God, what do you want me to do about this? And you know, life gets better when you do it this way. All righty. Last part. It says, Moses shows us what a decision looks like. Moses shows us what a decision looks like. Hebrews 11:24, it says, by faith, Moses, when he became of age, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh. Okay, what happened? Decisions involve tension. When Moses decided, I am not going to live in luxury. I am not going to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. Do you think there was a little tension in the palace that night? Do you think? He probably... I always love it. I had two kids that did this. One time they got mad and they say, I'm running away from home. And they got that little suitcase that grandma gave them. Sherry has one that's red, says grandma's to house or something like that. And they packed a pair of pajamas and stuff and out their door. Okay. They didn't even make it to the end of the swing set, you know. But listen, they were thinking they were making a decision. Moses made a decision and he left. And there was a lot of tension, right? Sometimes, guys, you're going to make decisions and there's tension, okay? I've told this story. Mike and Jody Horn, they used to attend up here and they live up in Dillsburg and they go there now. But they were telling a story about their son, Josh. Josh was probably about 2 and he had not yet slept through the night. I was like, this is one of those, that was a dumb decision. No, you know, I want to say. So they decided, they made a decision. That was it. This is the night we are not going to this kid when he screams. Let me tell you, there was a lot of tension that night. It was bad. It took 3 nights of that. So was that a good decision? Oh, baby, they should have started that at 6 months old. Okay, no, that was a good decision. Sometimes your good decisions are going to have some tension. That's okay. Follow through. It'll get better. Josh sleeps through the night. Took 3 days. It was kind of crazy. I laughed. You should have seen Mike and Jody when they came in. All righty. So good decisions might cause some tension. All righty. Let me say something about decisions. If you're a married couple, you ought to make decisions together. All right? My friend told me this story about a decision they did not make together. It was when they first got married and her car was dying. It was like blow on it. It was dead. So her husband decided to look for a new used car. So he found this. It was going to be in the budget. It was going to help him save gas and it didn't look too bad. So he buys that thing, brings it home for his wife, and he is just tickled pink with himself. We got one problem. It's stick shift. And she don't drive stick shift. Okay. There's a little dissension that night. Okay. Husbands and wives, you need to get together when you make decisions. So, you know, I told you the rule Jack and I had. If it was over 100, he couldn't make a decision. Because, you know, one time he walked past a travel agent and came home with tickets to the Bahamas. Oh, yeah. I made a decision. He didn't own a credit card anymore. It took another decade till he had a credit card. Uh-huh. Because he just... And this is why you need your spouse. Sometimes we are emotional and impulsive. And you need them to ask, the hard questions that you don't want to hear. I'm listening, okay? So anybody have some fun stories about that? All right, so what was that one? Number one, decisions sometimes involve tension, okay? But listen, you make a right decision with your spouse, and sometimes it's, oh, yes, decision that, you know, you're not going to get up in the middle of the night, your child's old enough to sleep through the night. So it does create tensions, but eventually they get better, right? So your decisions, they'll get better. Number two, choices, decisions create challenges. Hebrews 11:25, choosing to suffer affliction. All right, there are some challenges there with God's people that enjoy the passing pleasures of sin. So right decisions cause challenges. And actually, sometimes it gets worse. Sometimes it looks like you made this decision and it got worser. And you're thinking, why did we make that decision? Listen, you made this decision. You need to stick it out because eventually it gets better. If it's a decision that you made with God, it'll get better. Don't go by what it's blowing up and looking at, like Josh screaming and at the night. This is my best story. Okay. Number three, decisions make you ask tough questions. When you make right decisions, good decisions, God-directed decisions, it will make you ask tough questions. The key is before you do it. You should be asking questions. And this is this spouse an agreement thing, all right? I don't care if you're building a business, building relationships, doing anything like that. Before you make the decision, you should ask some questions, all right? And usually, I'm telling you all the time, you know, Jack, look, honey, I bought tickets. We're going to the Bahamas, okay? Your spouse usually will ask the tough questions. What are you, nuts? Where are you going to get the money? All right, that's what should have happened, but we didn't. We had a wonderful trip, though, I have to admit. It was wonderful. We took a year to pay it off. It was like, you know, but really, it was a bad decision, but it was a good decision. Okay. All right. So listen, you should ask the tough questions before you make the decision. All right. Nobody likes to walk into things blind. I have one friend. I was like, are you kidding me? 900 questions. You know what? That person doesn't walk into too many, surprises, because she's asking the questions before you make the decision. All right. So you work together. You get an agreement. All right. So you're not married. Okay. You should have a prayer partner. You should be in a group. You should bounce it off your group. Say, you know what, I was thinking about doing this. And they'll go, well, have you ever considered this? Really? Yeah. Okay. So tough decisions sometimes bring up tough things here. All righty. Number four. Oh, this is my favorite. Decisions make you go public. Hebrews 11:27, by faith he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. Okay, decisions make you go public. And this is where most people's decisions die. How many of you made a New Year's resolution? Oh man, my pants are too tight. I'm going to stop doing the Whopper Jr. with a liter of soda. Okay, I'm making a decision, right? And then, but you know what? We don't tell anybody. Why? Because they'll see me and go, oh, excuse me, girl. I thought you said, you went public, that you were going to start eating healthy. All right? So you need to make some of these decisions. Public meaning especially with your spouse. Somebody that's going to hold you to it. Right? Decisions should go public. All right? Because if you don't, all right. So what? All right. So what if you make a decision? So what? It's like, until you go public, right? And then someone's going to make you accountable. All right. Number five, decisions have consequences. Oh, you're not kidding, baby. Decisions have consequences. Decisions have consequences. How many of you have made bad decisions and you had bad consequences? Man, we could probably all write a book. Oh my gosh. Decisions have consequences. All right, now, I've told this story before. I realized my kids were, when they're younger, they become TV-aholics. And I'm always yelling, turn off the TV, do your homework. And it's the last day of school. So we're about the next day, summer starts. So Jack and I made a decision. I know, they call us the Nazi Christians. We carried the TV. We only have one TV in our house to this day. Are you kidding me? Enough trouble watching one TV. So we carried that TV down to the shed for the summer. Let me tell you, there were consequences. I had miserable kids, but you know who was most miserable? I was like, oh my gosh, I want to veg out. Okay, there were some consequences. Kids were obnoxious for about a week. And then they got in, take their electronics away. Okay, so nowadays that's what you do. So, but you know what? A week later, the consequences got better. I mean, they got better. But you make decisions, there's consequences, okay? Now, why do we make decisions? Because we want to have a change in our life. Why do you make decisions? Because you want to have a change in your life. Why do you not make a decision? Because those consequences are painful. No TV, oh my gosh. You know, okay. Why don't we make decisions? Because we don't want to have to deal with so-and-so. We don't want to have to deal with it. So we don't make decisions. Yeah. How about this? You are making a decision to get out of debt. All right? So that means I'm going to stop eating out. All right? Oh, darn. That means I'd have to go to the grocery store and start cooking. So there's consequences when you make a decision. Yeah, but that was a good decision because you will spend less if you go to the grocery store and start cooking, right? So there are consequences with decisions. And if you make right decisions, those consequences get good. They eventually get good. But listen, you start making wrong decisions, I know consequences. You guys can write books. All right. Number six, we're almost done. Decisions take time. Decisions take time. Listen, it was one thing to stand at the altar and make these vows, but then you have to stick to it, and it takes time. Time. It's just time. You know, I'm going to stick to it. There's time in your decisions. Listen, faith is making decisions. It takes faith to make decisions. If it didn't take faith, you'd have it. You wouldn't have to have faith, right? But it takes faith to make a decision and stick to the decision. And it takes time from the time you decide till the thing starts unraveling, or whatever, manifesting, all right? So it takes time. I realize I'm not always the most patient person. But listen, you make a decision. Get your spouse. You pray about this thing. We've decided we're going to do this, this, and this. And then you decide we are going to stick to it. And I don't care if it takes this amount of time or this amount of time. We've made a decision. We're in faith with this decision. And we're going to stick to it. Because decisions take time. It takes time to happen. It takes 9 months to have a baby. It takes time to have things happen. It just takes time. All right, and you know what? I have seen couples that have made a decision in the commitment, and then I've watched them go through some really tough... Mary Lou and Ronnie Kopp aren't here. They usually sit here. They're my cute little old couple. They've been married zillions of years, and they've got about 8 or 9 kids, and they've got great-grandbabies and stuff. Actually, no part of... I've walked with them for a long time. They made a commitment. They made decisions, and they have been through ups and downs and heart attacks and, you know, kids and stuff like that. But listen, 60 years married, that's pretty good for time. That's okay if it takes time. The finish line is just wonderful, isn't it? It's just wonderful. So that's my last one. Decisions pay off. Decisions pay off. Decisions pay off. Amen. Right decision always causes you to go in the right direction. Hebrews 11:29. By faith they passed through the Red Sea as by dry land, whereas the Egyptians attempting to do so were drowned. Moses made a decision. The Israelites made a decision to go with Moses, and they stuck with their decision. It paid off. They made it not only through all of that, they made it into the promised land. Decisions pay off. You know, 31 years ago, we started this church. I want to tell you, I have seen people come to Jesus. I've seen people healed. I've watched kids get born again, grow up to be teenagers, and still serve the Lord. I've seen because we support missionaries, I've seen lives change overseas. Decisions will pay off if you stick to it. And sometimes those decisions you make, they're pretty hard, aren't they? They're hard, but if you stick to it, stay with it. And by the way, it's faith to make a decision, and it's faith to stay with it. But God, if it's a God decision, if it's something you prayed about and you know that you know, God will finish it off. He'll bring you through. Amen? Okay, I'm giving you homework. At the bottom of the page, homework. This is your assignment. This will take you a week to do. You'll have to find a quiet place. And you'll have to get quiet and real. Some of you, I know that you are contemplating decisions and you keep holding back. And I want to just kick you up in the pants and say, would you make the decision and go with it? All right? Because it's a no-brainer. I can tell where it's going to end. It'll be good. So what decisions do you need to get? What decision do you need to do to get going in the right direction? What do you need to do to go in the right direction? Could be about a relationship. What do you need to do? You might be in a wrong relationship, and you just need to axe that thing off, okay, to get in the right direction. I like that one about you need to just cut up your credit card to get in the right direction. What do you need to do? All right. The other one is, what decision have you been holding off making because it's hard? You might have to face somebody who's going to be ticked off at you. But listen, if God gave you that decision, I don't care if it's hard. You go through with it because it'll end sweet. It'll be better. And listen, I'd rather stand before the Lord than listen to somebody who got mad at me. Okay, the last one. What can you do to take a step of faith? I have somebody right now that we're working with here, and she's got her finances in a mess. And we talked about it, and we prayed about it. And she is like, I was like, I'm just going to kick you. Would you just do? I know it's hard. But if you do not make this change, it is just going to cycle this mess. So what I did is, because this person is really struggling in this area, is I teamed her up with her home group leader. Someone's going to walk with her. You know, and it's okay to raise your hand and say, you know, I am really I say I'm going to do it, but then I don't stick with it. Go get somebody to walk with you. They're not going to do it though, baby. They're not going to do it for you, but they'll be that encourager and they'll hold you to it. All right. So what changes and what decisions should you be making and what step can you take? All right. Well, let's just pray. Okay, before we pray, Kathy wanted me to announce in our bookstore, we've got some specials going because it's getting close to Christmas. So we run 20% off. Oh, the ALL, all books? Whoa, usually she does the mini books. Whoa. Buy two. Yeah, but 20% off books. Okay. And we don't really make a profit. Like when they charge a book for $13.99, we tell you it's $14. We make a penny profit. Okay. We don't mark up our books. We want to get these materials in your hands so that they can get you where you want to go or you can give it to somebody else. Amen. All right. So that I wanted to say. Also, don't forget trunk or treat if you would like to just have.